All right, let's go ahead and get started. I'm going to talk about something that I don't very often talk about. I'm going to talk about marriage. And I believe that marriage is the greatest institution outside of being saved in the entire universe. And I believe in the covenant of marriage. But I believe in a divine headship that God gave that I believe we in America have utterly, well, not just America, the world has destroyed. And it's not, I am not a male chauvinist pig. My wife has as much say in our finances and life and decisions as I've got. But a lot of people don't understand marriage. And I'm doing this a little bit and maybe preparatory for the Kentucky group. And, it is fascinating to me. I was going to start in Ephesians 5, but go to 1 Corinthians 11. And I'm just going to kind of jump in to the context. Verse 4, every man praying or prophesying having his head covered dishonoreth his head, but every woman that prayeth or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head. Now, who is her head? It's the man. For he that for that is even all as one as she were shaven, and on and on. So you got to understand, the man is the head of the woman, and this divine order is written out in such a way that God doesn't want to get confused. Now, I can tell you that you cannot force a wife to do anything. Go ahead and try it. It doesn't work. You can't bark at her. You can't beat her. You can't force her to do what you want her to do. And as you grow in grace, you learn about leadership. And I think what maybe in some marriage this might be better on male leadership. I believe men need to lead their wives. I believe they need to be the head of the union. And they need to be compassionate. And I think there's some aspects to this that I don't talk on very often, but I started praying about it after this week at the Bible class up in Kentucky. Because there's women that are acting spiritual that won't obey their husbands. Well, that's just a farce. That isn't spiritual. That isn't godly. That isn't the Holy Spirit driving that person. That person isn't driven by the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit wouldn't give them the sense of rebellion against their headship. There's another spirit in that person. And that's really what it comes down to. And as you start to bring forth a union, that's why the union is really between two believers. Marriage isn't between a lost person and a saved person. Really, marriage is only between two saved individuals. Say, well, we were both lost when we got married. But if you're both saved now, you're in marriage. You're in the union. It is a vow before Almighty God. Now, I just wanted you to see the head covering and understand that that's the authority, but it's her head, which is who? or man. Go to Ephesians chapter 5 now. And you know what? Listen, if you can't do this, then you ought not to get married. Say, well, I've had people come to me and say, Pastor, will you marry me? And I say, well, sure, you know, let's sit down and talk. Well, we want to write our own vows. And the reason they don't want to do these vows is because they think, well, these are archaic and the man is the rod of iron and the woman is, well, come on. I've never found that I had to beat Brenda except maybe 5 times. You don't have to beat a woman. If you're the man that God is anticipating to be, she will follow you. See, all you have to work at, men, and maybe this is more of a leadership thing than just marriage. Listen, you've got to be the man of God that God wants you to be. You don't have to worry about your wife being the woman of God or this lovely creature that glows down the thing. What you need to do, men, is worry about being the man of God that God Almighty has called you to be. You know, the old army, be all that you can be. That's all you got to be. And you don't have to worry about that. And so in Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 21, he says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. I don't know a single case, listen to me, where a woman would say, whatever you say, Lord. That would cut down the arguing in the house, wouldn't it? But you know why women argue? Because men would rather be fishing on Sunday than they would be reading the Word of God in church. Amen? They'd rather be out watching the football games and the sports arenas and all those things instead of serving the Lord like they should and dedicating their life to their families and to the interest of the Word of God and to the other men of the church that are set. Come on. I mean, it's easy to lay back and not go to church. It's hard to do what's right time in and time out. You know what? Listen, out of all the people who started this ministry, Larry is the only one still with me. It's hard. You think it's easy? It's hard. It's hard to stand up for the truth. It just never looks like it's ever really working, doesn't it? It's just hard. And so people give up on it. But wives are supposed to submit unto their husband as on, not unto their husband, but as it is unto the Lord. And I know what the women are thinking here. They're thinking, well, if my husband acted like the Lord, I could do that. That's true. We were talking about this earlier, driving in the car. And let's say your husband asked you to do something that you thought was ungodly. And I'm just saying something as simply as going to a Methodist church where you know the doctrine ain't right. You women know that the doctrine ain't right. Would it be right for you to submit to your head still? Yes. Absolutely. Because you know what? That's going to honor God in the fact that I'm doing whatever's right, even though He's not doing anything right. Y'all understand? You can't say, well, if He was a godly person or if He was going in the right direction, hey, I'd follow Him. That's not how it works. Once you have submitted yourself in the vows of the marriage, you're saying, I'm submitting to Him as my headship. Now, if you don't like that, here's an idea, ladies. Get somebody you can do that with. People say, well, I don't really trust Him completely. Then He isn't the one you should be marrying. You understand? I mean, really, marriage is about trust.
Right.
It's exactly the same relationship between you and your Savior. It's about trust. I'm trusting. Listen, I have no proof other than His Word. That's all I've got is His Word. That if I die, He's died for all of my sins and will come back and get me.
Amen.
I'm trusting that. There is a sense of trust between me and the written words on that pages. You with me? So is a marriage. That's what a marriage is. It is that trust. I had a couple come to me one time and says, she was a millionaire, and she asked me, she said, how do you feel about prenuptials? I said, well, it's certainly not a marriage terminology. Do you trust your husband? And I said, the one she was getting ready to marry. And she said, well, I just want to make sure my children are taken care of. Well, if you told him that's what you want, do you trust him to do that? And she said, no. And I said, you're marrying the wrong person. Y'all understand? You're marrying the wrong person. If you can't totally, 100% trust the person that you're marrying, then you haven't got anything. And if that trust breaks down for any fabrication or any means or any way, building that trust back is all you work on until you do. Now, wives, it says submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the what?
Lord.
Now, listen, if the Lord asked you to do something, would you go, Lord, say please? What would you do? You'd be thrilled to do it. And well, look, verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the subject is the church is subject unto Christ, so let their wives be to their own husbands. Well, come on. Subjectness means you're in obedience.
Right.
What do you think a rogue subject does? He rebels. Why would they rebel against their own kingdom? Hey, I've got a hint for you. America's the greatest country on the planet Earth. Bar none. It is the greatest country. You say, well, everything's not quite right. I'd rather be here than Somalia.
Yes.
Trust me. I'm just telling you, I'd rather be here than Moscow. Y'all understand? Say, well, there's racial issues. Yep. Still rather be here. Say, there's financial problems. Yep, but I'd still rather be here. See, the thing is that when that finally dissolves where the population doesn't trust the government, then you're going to have a problem. Same thing in a marriage. Same thing in a marriage. And this headship is so important because, listen, let me tell you what, that's why I study to wash my wife with the Word. We discuss the Bible. We talk about Bible studies. We listen to Bible studies. We do whatever we can. Why? I want her to have a great understanding of my belief system. Why? I'm her Lord. She's trusting me to get the Word of God. Listen, women, they listen in this congregation. But you know what the Bible says in Corinthians? Let them ask their husbands at home.
That's right.
You know why? The husband should be skilled in the Word of God at such a level that he could teach his family at home.
Right.
You know the problem is? Most guys are not skilled in the Bible.
Amen.
Most people have been playing religion and religion and religion. And if you said, okay, Jim, tonight I want you to come up here And for the next 45 minutes, why would you have to study that out? You've heard it 100 times. You say, well, I don't use it every day. What, do you think I go around teaching baptism every day? But I can teach on baptism. You know why? It's important to the doctrine of the church. How many here could preach me a message right now? I could say, Sterling, come up here. I want you to preach on Paul being your apostle. No notes, you just get up and do it. Could you do it, Tony?
No, not without notes.
Yes.
I can do it.
You can do it?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. You should be able to do it. Why? It's the fundamentals of a faith. How can you teach or preach or wash your wife with words that you don't even possess? That's a problem in the church. Amen? And I mean, we're probably better off than most churches. But let me tell you what, it's a problem across the board. Say, well, I want my daughter or my son or my thing, I want them to have financial security. You know what? I don't care about all that crap. I want to know, is the man that's going to take my daughter able to wash my daughter with the Word of God and cleanse her so she's without spot or wrinkle at the judgment seat of Christ? Amen. That's what's important to me. I don't really care whether she's pretty or ugly. You know what? I don't even care if he or she is black or white. Those aren't the issue with me. I want to know that her head is going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ and know the Word of God, listen to me, and wash my daughter, or if it's my son, wash somebody else's daughter with the Word. What do you think marriage is? I mean, we've gotten down to where marriage is like a license to have sex. And if you don't like the sex and the relationship and all that's involved, just get a divorce, go to the next one. I mean, that's how they teach it almost. It's terrible. Marriage is about a commitment. You know what? I'm glad that God isn't up there going, well, I'm not sure I love Barry today. Why, Barry's being a jerk today. I don't love him today. You know what? God loves me every day of every hour, and His love never is unpresent before me. I feel the love of Christ, and so we, as husbands, have to learn to love our wives. Say, hey, this is tough. Yeah, sometimes they're unlovable. Just like you are to the Lord. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. It did not say this. Husbands, love your wife if they're lovable. Husbands, love your wife if they're cute. You know, I've had some people they come to me to get married. I've married probably 40 or 50 people, and I've had probably 65 or 70 come ask me. I had to tell them I won't marry you. You guys don't even have a clue. They were like goo goo gaga in love. And you know what they were? They were more in love with the ceremony and the princess of the day feel than they were with the biblical thing of what they were going to have to do day in and day out. Oprah Winfrey had a great thing on her program one time about marriage, and I don't hardly ever agree with Oprah Winfrey on anything. So, but she was right. Instead of having a big wedding, you ought to save all that money and say we're not spending a dime until we get to our 10th anniversary. Hey, that one day is a joke. You don't even know that person. You haven't even... You know what marriage is like? It's like taking two people and refining them into something that will ultimately glorify God over a period of time. And it takes a period of washing with the Word. Now, it did not say, husbands, beat your wives when they're idiots. It did not say, husbands, yell at your wife, they're stupid. It said, husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Well, I can't find anything but kindness. I can't find anything in here but God was very gentle to you and kind to you. Look in Romans chapter 5. This is the attitude of the love of Christ. Go to Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, people say, well, preacher, you never preach on practical stuff. You know why? This steps on people's toes, brother. You think the gospel steps on people's toes? This right here will humble you down. And, huh?
You might get some emails.
Yeah, you might get some emails on this one. Amen. For when we were yet without strength, verse 6, Romans 5, 6, in due time, Christ died for the really sweet, beautiful people. No, he died for the what? You see, you say, well, what is the love of Christ? How does Christ love the church? He loved them when they were stinkers. He didn't love them. I mean, it's nothing to love somebody when they're loving you back. That isn't an impressive love. Say, well, I love you, and they look at you and say, honey, I love you. I mean, I know Brenda and I have an unusual relationship. I told her the day she said, Lord, I love you. Now, that's impressive, I admit. And I'm probably worthy of it. Yes.
You're sweating.
We're doing what?
You're sweating.
I'm sweating? This is hard work. How are you? We're in Romans chapter 5, verse 6. So when God died for the ungodly, guess what? That was a true sign of true love. It's not impressive when you love somebody who's going to look you back and just... I mean, how about when they're having a bad day and they don't really want you to talk to them? How about that day? Well, that's the day that the love really shows forth. And then he said, for scarcely a righteous man will one die. You know, I mean, hey, if you're good, you know, somebody might die for you. Yet preadventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God, this is the love of God, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There is men love their wives. Just like that. Say, well, you know, she argues with me sometimes. Well, welcome to married life. I've got a verse for you. Go to 1 Corinthians 7. I always show them this verse, and I can tell you, inevitably, everybody that I've married... Verse 28. 1 Corinthians 7, 28. But if thou marry... Thou hast not sinned, and if a virgin marry, she is not sinned. Never the flesh? Absolutely. So you've got to put on the love of Christ. Because you know what? If you think, how many here has been married? How many here has had a bumpy road at it at times? Everybody keep raising their hand. Self out, and they have this picket fence, and everything is going to be beautiful. And they believe that's the way marriage is. And that ain't the case in most marriages. You see, laying this thing out in one little chapter so you can get it nailed down pretty quick. Go back to Ephesians chapter 5. I want to show one other thing with this that I think is important. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. But there's also that he is patient and long-suffering. You know what? When I first went to Brother Moore's church and I heard that gospel being preached that Christ had died for our sins, that he was buried and then he rose again... Man, first couple times I'm thinking, who's he? And you know what he had to do? He had to be. You've got to have the fruit of the Spirit. You're going to have long-suffering when other people aren't willing to have long-suffering. And people can think of whatever they want to think. Hey. Galatians chapter 5, look if you will, in verse 22. joy, love, joy, peace, what? Gentleness. Hey, you're going to have a lot of long-suffering and gentleness to get through a marriage. My father-in-law was probably the most patient man I've ever... Now, since I've lived with my mother-in-law for 8 years, what Dad had to go through. And now, Dad is my hero. Let me tell you, it takes a lot of long-suffering. It takes a little bit of time of patience. Amen? You're not going to get... Hey, you know what? Might as well shut your mouth a little bit and be patient. If you think that that woman, somewhere in the north part of Kentucky, and said, I'd like to go to your Monday night Bible class up in Kentucky. I said, well, we'd love to have you. He said, my wife won't let me. What woman says she doesn't want to go? Leave her behind. I'm not dragging any girl along. Hey, listen, I can't give you or wash you with the Word with something that I don't have any more than I can go back to a place I've never been. I can't do that. And people get all kinds of frustrated at this kind of stuff. But you know what, men? You've got to step up and lead your family. Lead. You know, Joshua didn't say, if my wife allows us, we'll serve the Lord. He said in Joshua 24, he says, I will serve the Lord. We're going. And you know what? In that story in Joshua, this fascinating story, and Joshua's the only one, he said, it doesn't matter what, you can go serve all the other gods, and you can go do all those other things, but for me and my house, we will go and serve the Lord. You know what? Sometimes it's a lonely road for the man of God when he gets up and he goes forward toward the Word of God and toward the washing of the Word. Say, well, my wife can't make it on. Well, then you need to be here. You know, unfortunately, the church is filled with women instead of men. And men are all out fishing and having sports. Got to play basketball. Got to do this on Sunday. Got to go there. You know what? That's a problem. That's a problem. If you're gonna, hey, you got to be long-suffering and gentle. But you know what? That prevents you from doing the will of God. You do what's right before God. You do, listen, men, listen to me very carefully. You do what's necessary for you to walk in the will of God. If she follows you, great. And if she doesn't, great. It doesn't matter. Say, well, that would cause a divorce. Then you weren't really married anyway because she wasn't submitting under your headship.
That's right.
What kind of marriage do you think it would be? Honey, do you think we ought to go to church? Well, I want to watch The Biggest Loser on TV. Okay, I guess we'll stay here then. Bunch of wimpy men that won't stand up and say, hey, I'm going. I'm going. Brenda doesn't have to wonder where I'm going on Wednesday night. She's not like going, I wonder what Barry's up to tonight. Oh, Sunday. I wonder where Brother Barry is going to be on Sunday. No way. And you know what? If she doesn't come, it wouldn't matter. See you later, alligator. Want you to come. Love for you to come. Love for you to be part of it. But if you don't, I'll be back home and we'll wash you with the Word when I get there.
That's right.
It's fascinating. I got in trouble one time preaching Proverbs 31. Boy, I caused like two divorces in one group. So I'm going to preach it tonight a little bit. Are y'all secured in your marriages? Maybe not. Maybe I shouldn't do this. This can get really nasty pretty quick. Yeah.
It's not a problem with you, but I got somebody over there that it could cause a problem with.
Yeah, man, it could too.
By the time I get home, she starts whooping me around.
Proverbs 31. Hand up, brother. We'll back you up from about 10 feet. Proverbs 31. Now, don't get mad at me, women, okay? Promise me. Raise your right hand, women. Raise it up. Let me see you. I, the women of this church, come on. Won't get mad at you because I'm going to believe the Bible. Well, raise your hand anyway. It looks better in numbers. Proverbs 31. Now, watch this. Who can bind a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? For the heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that...
10.
Proverbs 31, verse 10. Y'all don't know the story of the virtuous woman? See, now here's the deal. If you're married, you ought to read this a couple times a day. This is required reading here. Y'all there now? Proverbs 31, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. Boy, that's important. That trust factor is the marriage. So that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Boy, isn't that precious? That's precious. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hand. Now, you know, we've got this whole thing. Now, this is where I get in trouble. We've gotten in this thing that the man ought to go off and make a living and the woman stay home. You know, and I mean, my mama sat home and she watched as the world turned until it turned and turned and turned. You know what I mean? Now, that used to be a big deal back in the day. Now we can't afford it. Amen? On the edge of night. That's another one. How do you know that one, brother? General Hospital. You know, I mean, they watch all of them. And they watch these characters grow up. And I'm like, you know, one thing I'd do if I would be sitting home is I don't need any more drama in my life, you know? But the women would bake and they cook and they do that, and the men would go out and toil 40, 50 hours a week and bring home the living. That's how it was. But in Proverbs 31, that woman did all the work. Huh? You know the husband, what she wanted out of her husband? She wanted him to go sit with the elders of the gates. So he could learn the Word of God. See, that's what made her virtuous. It wasn't that she wanted to do all the work. It's that she was willing to do all the work so that her husband could study and get the knowledge and the wisdom to be the head to her. You all understand? Now watch this. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, let's see. Verse 13, she seeketh wool, flaxseed, working willingly with her hands. She's like a merchant ship. She bringeth forth food from afar. I always like my food better from afar. She rises up while it is yet night, giveth meat to her household and portions to her maidens. She considereth the field and buys. She's into real estate. The fruit of her hands, she hath planted a vineyard. She hath girded up her loins with strength and the strength of her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands to the distaff. This lady is one busy woman. And you, listen, let me tell you what. This woman works hard. You know what I believe? Women work hard. She stretches out her hands to the poor. She receiveth forth the hands... What? I'm getting a call.
Oh.
Jesus. Hello.
You won't believe who it is.
God's calling.
That's Mrs. Stolfus.
What are you at?
That's funny. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her house are clothed in scarlet. She maketh coverings of tapestry, and her clothes is like... is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates where when he sitteth among the elders of the land. See, the reason she did all that is to give him a chance to get there with the Word of God. Folks, listen, it takes a little bit to get the Word of God in you. And that woman knew that if she worked and she was diligent, that he would become the man of God and he would wash her with the Word. Okay? He would wash her with the Word. And that's what made that woman virtuous. She could see the advantage of it. Man, there isn't any greater thing for a woman. I don't believe there's a greater need. There isn't a sexual need. There isn't a physical need. There isn't a financial need greater than the spiritual need of a wife to have and wash her with the Word. There is no greater need. That's the need. That you say, well, what do I ask people when they get ready to get married? They come to me and say, Pastor, would you marry us? And I start to talk to them before I say yes. Most people have an image of marriage that is just so farce. It's a fairy tale. I don't even know where they get it from. Did they not see their mom and daddy yelling at each other? They didn't see the check bounce and the daddy getting mad. They didn't hear the bill didn't get paid and the electricity gets cut off. What's wrong with them? It ain't a fairy tale. And you know what? You're going to need a headship and a leadership of a man who knows the Word of God, who is smart. By the way, go back. Do I need to go any further? I mean, that's what made this woman fantastic. Go to, and people say, well, you're saying I should go to work and let him be home? Well, that kind of started that divorce scenario in one of my Bible classes. I'm not saying you have to do that. But you know what? Wouldn't it be great? Honestly, wouldn't it be great if your man was the man of God? And instead of if you had all the time off, I wouldn't necessarily be volunteering at the zoo. I'd be at the gates with the elders.
What time are we getting together to race? What gate?
We can make that happen. You all understand how important that is? Why? Go back to Ephesians chapter 5. Let me show you why that's important. You can't wash a wife with words you don't possess any more than you can go back to a place you've never been. Did you hear me? You can't do it. You've got to get the Word of God in you first. Amen? Why? Verse 25 again. For husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify it, and cleanse it. His wife, the church, the wife.
That's right.
With the washing of water by the what?
Word.
That's the way it is. Y'all there in verse 26? That He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. I would want to know that the man that is marrying my daughter couldn't do that. That is a concern. It isn't, well, are they going to have beautiful babies? I've seen some ugly people luck out and have a cute kid once in a while. I mean, it's kind of strange. You say, whose child is that? They go, ours, and you go, really? And you're trying to not act surprised because your parents are so ugly. I mean, I saw a woman so ugly one time, she'd make a freight train take a dirt road. I'm telling you, that's how ugly this woman was. I'm not saying that, you know, all women need, you know, are like barns, you know. But every now and then you find one that needs a little paint on, you know what I mean? I mean, I've seen some women that will flat out scare you to death. And you look down at that baby and you go, how is that possible? I asked this lady, what adoption agency did you use? I was embarrassed. They said, that's our kid. And I'm like, no way. I mean, I don't want to be, you know, being a preacher, I've got to be honest. I just don't believe that. That is one beautiful kid. And you two can't have that. And then I thought, well, maybe it's a recessive gene back, you know, three or four generations finally popped out right. You know, that genetic stuff throws me for a loop a little bit. Doesn't it, you? I don't get that exactly, but... And then you know, every now and then you'll have two really good-looking couple get together. And their kids are ugly. I'm not kidding you. I mean, you know, some people think they hold their baby up, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'd cover it up. I'm terrible. But I'm being honest, you know, you've been there, amen? Hey, you're supposed to sanctify and then cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, but how do you do that if you don't have the words? You can't do it. It's a problem. It's a problem. It's terrible. And you know what? I ask people questions about Word of God, about the Word of God, about the Word of God. They're idiots. They don't have a clue what's in the book. I'm telling you, you say, well, what about this? Well, I don't know about that. Well, how do you wash your wife with the Word? Well, the answer is, I don't. I bring her to church. I use a surrogate washer. You know what I mean? Just bring her to me, let me wash them with the Word. They'll be fantastic when they leave. Yeah, you know, I had one husband come to me, honestly, he says, you know, my wife is better after she leaves here. You really wash her well with the Word. I didn't know I was married to her. Come on. It's your job, men. Wake up. Say, well, I don't like that job. Well, then you should have stayed single. Part of the territory. Why would you do that? Verse 27. That he might present to himself a glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such things, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Well, look at how God presented the church. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm sorry I'm boring you, Miss Hampton. She gets this at home all the time. She gets washed well. She only comes for a window dressing here. Now watch this. Ephesians chapter 1. Y'all there? Amen. Look what he said in verse 4. I'm going to start in verse 3 if that's okay with you. Verse 2. No, I'm just kidding. I'm expressing my love. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him, when? Before the foundation of the world, that we should be what? Holy and without blame before him in love. Well, that's exactly what God wants your church to look like. Look at it, verse 27. Ephesians 5:27. Same wording. That's fascinating to me. That he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without what? That's what we ought to do. We ought to love our wives because, hey, we want, at the judgment seat of Christ, I want my wife to walk up and people go, man, that dude loved his wife. Now, I've got to be a little bit honest here. I have failed many times in my marriages. Oh, marriage. I don't want to hear it.
All the women you had on the side.
I don't know where that came from. I've only been married one time. I just, you know, I wrote a paper on this. Called the lost paper, and I want to give it to my daughter so bad. I wasn't looking for a godly wife. I was looking for a Friday night date. She walked into that store, and what won me over? I think my wife is one of the most beautiful women in the world. I did. I believe that. But it wasn't her physical beauty that got me. It was her spiritual interest. She asked me if I was a Christian, and you know what I thought? I am tonight. You know? And she ultimately was the thing that helped, the person that helped me come to the Lord. She took me to a preacher, and we dated Sundays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. And she loved the Lord so much, she was broke. I mean, she was so poor, she couldn't even pay attention. And she lived in a nine, listen to me very carefully, with a son. She had a son from a previous marriage. The guy beat her. Can you imagine that? Chased her down with a knife. Jerk. I praise God for him. Had to happen for me to have her. She lived in that little 9x12 trailer right next to the church. She didn't drive. And the only way she could afford to go to church every night was to be right there and be able to walk to church.
Right.
While I was dating her, she's living in this 9x12. She's given faithfully to the ministry, financially. She's also sending her son to Pensacola Christian School because she wants them to have a Christian education. Her priority wasn't herself. Her priority was the Word of God. And she got me to that church, and buddy, I got under conviction, and for 2 months I wrestled with the Lord Jesus Christ. I know what Jacob did a little bit. We wrestled. But finally I could admit that I was lost. And I needed a Savior. And I got saved, and I haven't wanted anything else but to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you can ask her ex-boss, Mr. Carson. She said, all I ever wanted was a man of God and a preacher. She got her dream come true, and I can tell you, I got the wife that every man should desire to have one like her. It's amazing. It really is amazing, our relationship. And I would love for people to have that in their marriages. Because I believe it's important. You know why most people don't? It's because they're stingy and greedy and and selfish, and on and on. And that's not about marriage, because God's love, you know, usually this is what they say. Look, I'll love you if you love me. But that's not the love of Christ. The love of Christ says, I don't care whether you love me, I'm going to love you. Period. See, that's why he brings the relationship of Christ into the marriage. He said, I'm not really talking about the marriage, but I'm talking about the church and Christ. See, you understand that God Almighty loved you so much that he went to the cross and he became sin for you. You're not any good. You're not. There's not a person in here that's worth the gunpowder to blow them into hell. There's none good, no, not one. You know what? If you could gather everything you thought in your mind that you said, Brother Barry, I've done this. This is righteous. And you brought it to the front and laid it before God. You know what God would say? Nothing but filthy rags.
That's right.
Everything you could even imagine in your mind that you could think, man, I did this. This is really good that I did this. This is the greatest thing. And you laid it down and the Lord would look down in there as filthy rags. Man, I'm telling you, if anybody could get this marriage thing down, they would understand the relationship of Christ.
Amen.
You know, the divorces tell me people don't understand it. Hello?
Hey!
What do you... Well, say hello, everybody.
Hello!
I'm still preaching.
Why are you so long-winded?
Because I'm a good preacher and I'm giving them their money for it. Hey, I'll call you in about 20 minutes.
Well, don't do that.
Oh, got it. See you later. All right, bye-bye. That's the little stinker I'm talking about. That's my daughter. Here's what I say. Go back to Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. For he that loveth his wife, loveth who? And the more you love that wife, the more it'll benefit you guys. And just, I try to find out acceptable words. Someone asked, I always talk, oh, Bobby! You know why I use sweet words to my wife? That's why I've been married 27 years. And a lot of people don't know how to use sweet words and lift up. I can't wait to get in. When I'm on a trip, all I can think about is falling into the arms of the maiden that I'm in love with. And if you ever read the Song of Solomon, man, when he comes from a trip, he brings her special perfume, man. This stuff is, like, expensive. But she plays little silly games. And then she realizes, I'm playing with the guy that I love, and this may break us up. And she quits playing the game. Marriage isn't a place to play.
Right.
Let me tell you. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished it and cherished it, even as the Lord, the church. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love their wives, even as himself, and the wives see that she reverences her husband. That's an incredible word. You see, guys, it has to do with the gospel. Jesus Christ took all of your sins, your filth, your naughty thoughts, your self-righteousness, your attitude, and he took it and he became that at the cross. And God Almighty, in a back, turned his back on his own son.
Amen.
And allowed those wicked, filthy Roman soldiers, led and encouraged by the high priest, to kill his son, and they did it. But he raised them the third day, and you know what? He knew he could raise his son. But you know why he allowed that to happen? He loved the church. If men love their wives like that, there wouldn't be a problem. I guarantee you. If you realize that there's the same divorce rate within the Christian community as in the public community, it's because we're listening to public ideas and we're doing public concepts. You young ladies, listen to me. I don't know if y'all are married, but let me tell you, you need to listen. Because the problem is the men you marry will be your headship for the rest of the people that are just good looking. I knew a guy that was fantastic looking that got up under a car on a motorcycle and 85% of his body was burned. He wasn't good looking anymore.
That's right.
Don't go after this or that. Go after one that can wash you with the word and will build you up in the faith. And men, if you can't do that with your wives, then you need to be here twice a week or three times a week. You need to be here every time the church doors open. You know why? So that you can build up that faith so you can take it home and wash it. Say, my wife won't go with me. Then leave her at home and serve the Lord. Leave her at home and serve the Lord. Because you've got to get it right before the Lord before you could ever be the husband that God intended you to be for that woman. Now that should have happened when they were little kids. I'm always amazed, you know, when people are dating. Young kids, I said, well, is this the person you're going to marry? They go, no, we're just dating. I said, do you realize that that is someone else's wife that you're dating? And let me ask you, what do you think someone's doing with your wife right now? Are you listening to me, Hannah? You listening to me, young ladies? Listen to me very carefully. If you're dating someone and your intention is not to marry them, then you ought not to date them. You know what? It says it's better not to touch a woman. You know what? Once you touch them, you want them. And that's what's going to happen. And it's a sexual connection. And we've got sexual deviancy happening in our country today that is at an all-time high. And you know why? Because they don't understand anything about a headship and on and on. They don't understand anything about that. And it's because their mom and daddy and their children any more than go back to a place they've never been. It can't be done. So we wonder why we're in a mess. Because the mom and daddies were in a mess. But you know what? Tonight stops that. You men in here need to grab men. And if, I was thinking about Jim and my daughter too. Grab those men and say, look, you need to get in there and get the Word of God. How are you going to be the headship of my daughter if you don't know anything? You don't think that's a big deal? It's the only deal. Listen to me. It's the only deal. Say, what's the deal he will? That's it. You can say whatever you want, but let me tell you what the realization is. If you love them, you want to find the headship. My daughter went to get married. And it wasn't the right guy. I knew he wasn't the right guy. He was a liar. And we caught him in his lies. And it wasn't going to get better after they got married. And I made the biggest decision, the hardest decision. You daughters, listen to me. I didn't walk her down the aisle. For me to take her hand and put it in that guy's hand and say it's the will of God was a lie. Say, well, you are being, man, you just don't love your daughter. No, I really do love my daughter. I loved her more than just giving her away to some slut puppy that thought he was some stud muffin. You understand? That wasn't what God called me to do with my daughter. I raised her to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, and I raised my son to be the men of God that were in the marriage. I'd rather them not marry than to marry. Welcome to the real world. You all understand? Marriage isn't easy. But here's the thing. Marriage is just like a rope. You can't push a rope. You can't push a wife. But you know what you can do? You can lead it, and a rope will follow. And wherever you go, it'll go. And that's the key.